Well, Nadal dominating his two sets up, 6-3, 6-3, 2-1, and serving to go to 3-1. Roger Rashid, good morning.
Good morning, guys. And it was, look, it's probably what we expected, really. I mean, potentially there was going to be a one tough set for Anderson, but he would have to serve it in the 70s as far as percentages-wise. He's been at 56% and below. He was at 38% of that last set in the second set. So against the quality of Nadal, that's just not going to cut it. And, you know, the occasion, it hasn't got to him. It's just the quality of opposition, I think.
Sure.
You know, that Anderson's coming up against.
Yeah. It's funny, the old blokes are there to be beaten, Rog, but they can't beat him, can they?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You say that, TK, but, you know, they're old in their age, but their tennis ability hasn't gone away. Their movement hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
They've stayed physically when they've got themselves right. They're actually just as tough to beat, purely because their love and excitement for the competition has been at its highest premium right throughout. I mean, Nadal talks about the passion he has for the game and to compete. So, as you know, when you lose that, everything else is sort of irrelevant. You actually become sort of a mediocre player. But he's just, I mean, he's, you know, the way he's coming out on, you know, he's been on the court today. I mean, he's 100% when he's coming to net, 13 from 13. No one thinks he's a net player, but the way he comes in and the way he volleys and finishes off is extreme. His enthusiasm, he's 3-1 up in this set, he hasn't yet taken his foot off the pedal. He's actually accelerated even more. He's still trying to stretch his opponent, trying to do the things that he knows gets reward, even if there was some extreme turnaround in this match. So you can see him continually trying to move Anderson around and stretch him across the court. Part of his thinking would be, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. If it goes to five sets, I'm still fatiguing my opponent as we go along. He's going to have to really earn it. So it's one of those quality, you know, who would have thought in December last year, as we started this season, that the four Grand Slams would be held by Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal?
Absolutely.
You wouldn't have thought about it, would you?
No, it's brilliant to see them continue. Sloane Stephens, mate, what a great story.
Yeah, good story.
Yeah, look, it is. And, you know, I've watched her come up and become from the juniors to the seniors. And just, you know, I admired her athleticism, her striking ability, to what she could do from all parts of the tennis court. Then it was just about watching her evolve and see what that meant on the world stage. So what type of pressures were involved. And yeah, she was handled. I think she didn't handle the pressures well at all. You know, didn't quite know whether she wanted to be, did she want to be great or did she want to be just a player on the tour? Didn't know where she sat with that. Having some time off, being injured, I think obviously we spoke about during the week, that helped her enormous amount, because she could actually sit off and watch, and then spend enough time out to think, hey, I need to be back in. I don't want to be a commentator. I don't want to be doing little bits and pieces and cameo roles. I want to be on the court. That's where the mojo is. And what I loved about it is, you know, she didn't win her first couple of tournaments. She lost, you know, first round. She said, hopefully I'll get a win at some point. You know, she's made her way to a Grand Slam final. But her poise in the final, two girls getting there, Madison Keys, great performance getting there, and also Sloane, they're, you know, friends. One was going to have more poise than the other, and I just love the facial expressions of Sloane. They were the same. Yeah, she had a little bit of passion in there, you could see it, but she was very calm when she struck the ball, and very calm in between points, and, you know, and it just showed. And I think her athleticism also played a major part in that match as well. She was able to match Madison Keys and take it up to another level. So great for the women's game, absolutely magnificent for the women's game that these two girls have actually stepped up and made a Grand Slam final, and be interesting to see where this tournament takes them in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I've never seen someone so happy to lose in Madison Keys anyway. Hey, which is nice. I know they're good friends, so they've probably played each other plenty of times. Mate, just a quick one. It's now Davis Cup for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it is Davis Cup, so we're just sort of fine-tuning. I know they're putting a lot of hours in. I've had a couple of text messages with Jason Stoltenberg. They're putting a lot of hours in on the clay there, trying to get used to the, you know, shifting from the hard court to the clay. It doesn't take too long, but just the dynamics, the way you play the game. So this is a massive tie, because if we we do win, there's potential to come home for a Davis Cup final. We haven't had that for a long time, and you know, it might be something that could ignite a little bit of tennis here as well, because it will be played in December. You know, a good opportunity for tennis to be up here in Leeds in December. So a big moment for the Aussie boys. I feel like they're favourites, even though they're away. David Goffin's a good player, quality player, and a former top 10 last year, but slightly hurt, and I don't hold a lot of strength in their second player in their doubles combination as well. So great opportunity for Australia to advance.
Rog, we thank you, mate. It's news time. We thank you for the couple of weeks' work. You're absolutely fantastic. We'll talk again soon.
See you, boys. Pleasure.